This episode is brought to you by the 1-4 Group Incorporated, a leading supplier of innovative dormancy and sprout inhibiting products for the potato storage industry. They believe that sustainability is intrinsically linked with the concept of stewardship. 1-4 Group practices sustainability by helping farmers minimize product loss using their family of biocontrol products. Learn more at 1-4group.com.
Welcome to the Potato Field with Spudman podcast. I'm your host, Spudman editor Zeke Jennings. Joining me today is a very exciting guest that I've been wanting to have on because he's doing some really amazing things in creating markets for potatoes. We've typically focused a lot on potato growing so far in the podcast, but creating that end excitement with the consumer is really the job of my guest today. Joining me from Potatoes USA in Denver is the Director of Culinary, RJ Harvey. RJ, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Zeke. I'm so blessed and pleased that you would have me on.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you here. We've chatted before. I know a lot of the great things that you guys are doing, and that was one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is to kind of share some of those stories. So, but first of all, as the Director of Culinary at Potatoes USA, could you give us an overview of what you do?
Sure thing, Zeke. So as the Director of Culinary at Potatoes USA, my job is really to oversee all of the culinary development that happens at Potatoes USA on behalf of the U.S. potato industry. The culinary department is a resource for all of our marketing programs. So whether that be for consumer, retail, food service, even school food service and industry outreach. Now, typically, this involves recipe development. We do culinary consultation for our target audiences, as well as cooking demonstrations, concept ideation, and so forth. But this role has even expanded now more than ever to include a lot of creation of some key marketing assets, such as cooking videos, food photography, and even nutrient analysis. And so being an RD really helps tremendously with the latter of those.
Now, we're going to talk some of those recipes for sure, because you've created a lot of them in your time at Potatoes USA. But I think it's important to talk about how you go about that outreach. How has your job changed since you started? What are some of the things you're doing now that maybe you weren't doing within the past couple of years? Because you've been with Potatoes USA since 2017, I believe, but your title and your role changed a couple of years ago.
That's right. So the role since I began with Potatoes USA has definitely evolved. I started off as the Global Food Service Marketing Manager role, which is now spearheaded by Kendra Keenan. And about 2 years ago, we found the need for a dedicated culinary director. So we were having more and more opportunities to interface with food service operators, such as Wendy's when they launched their breakfast potato offerings. We worked with Del Taco and Michigan State University, as well as Wawa's. And there were just a lot of other companies that we really wanted to work with. So because of that, we really needed to focus on recipe ideation, development, and also have a go-to culinary expert in-house. This has not only led to more recipes, but we've continued to have those food service operators one-on-ones. Most recently, we worked with Taco Bell to get potatoes back on their menu. So that was super exciting. And everything that we do, we try to keep a focus on our target audiences, but we remain vigilant on that ultimate goal, which is to get more people to eat more potatoes in more ways.
Yeah, the Taco Bell situation actually was resolved. I think it was March 11th that they officially put potatoes back on the menu. So congratulations on that win. So
thank you very much. Now, one other thing I wanted to touch base on, Zeke, was, you know, we have a lot of great chefs in the potato industry, and they all have so much great information and so much talent. So what we also did within the culinary program is we developed the first ever U.S. Potato Industry Chefs Council. And this is an opportunity for chefs from across the potato industry to discuss trends, ideate concepts, network, but also to really kind of see how we can collectively create a demand and raise that demand for potato types of all categories across America.
And what have some of the highlights that have come out of that? I mean, have you gotten some good feedback from through these sessions?
Oh, we have. Absolutely. So the chefs that are part of this Chefs Council, They are either coming from the processing chefs, whether that's frozen and dehydrated potatoes, or they are somehow associated with some of the wonderful state industry organizations. So we've got the chef from Idaho Potato Commission, Michigan usually sits in on our industry calls. We've got Leif Benson, who is a household name across the potato industry, that gives his input. And all of them collectively are just in awe that we have created this platform for us chefs to just get together and discuss what's going on. And you know, a lot of times it's just, what are the food trends that are out there? And this not only helps our organization as Potatoes USA drive demand, but it helps all the individual organizations as well increase their demand as they go out and do their business and retune their recipes and interface with their customers and so forth.
One thing that came out recently is Potatoes USA is actually building a new headquarters and meeting center in Denver. And that's going to have like a built-in area to bring in and train some chefs. Could you share some details on that? And what do you guys have in the works?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Zeke, but I'm curious who let the potato out of the sack. We are definitely changing office locations here in Denver. And a big part of that opportunity is for us to construct an advanced new culinary center. Now, this culinary center will not only be ground zero for all of the amazing development and food photography that we're doing here at Potatoes USA, but it's also going to be an educational hub where we'll host chef seminars, chef workshops, events, we'll do video production, et cetera. And this facility, I got to tell you, it's going to be state of the art and will house some of the best equipment that you'll see in a lot of top restaurants around the world. The idea is we really want to have chefs and potato enthusiasts be able to come into the culinary center and not only learn and experiment with potatoes, but to be able to develop some amazing and craveable potato-focused recipes that equipment that they're familiar with. So we're hopeful that come late this fall, the center will be up and running, and stay tuned. I'm sure more information will be coming your way, and we'll definitely update you on that.
Well, I appreciate that, and hopefully I can get out there when this pandemic is over and see that new facility next year. So one thing that you and I have talked about before in some conversation is that stigma that we've had for a long time with carbs and potatoes. But first it was the Atkins diet, now it's evolved, there's other ones. When you go out and encounter culinary students or young chefs, what is typically the response that you get when you bring up potatoes to them?
Yeah, Zeke, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And thankfully, through the work we're doing, along with organizations like APRI, the Alliance for Potato Research and Education, as well as Food Minds, who is a partnering agency of ours, we're dispelling many of these nutritional myths that are out there and that are associated with potatoes. I mean, to be honest, when I'm working with culinary students or we're working with young chefs, they're more interested in what they can do with potatoes from a cooking standpoint. You know, the most common comment I get from anyone about potatoes is, oh my God, I love potatoes. Mm-hmm. So our approach to potato nutrition is pretty simple. We put the correct information out there and we lean in on the benefits of potato consumption as opposed to focusing on the negative misperceptions. And it's really working. I mean, in the May issue of Men's Health that either just released or getting ready to hit magazine shelves, there's a huge spread titled "The Potato is Back." And this is great news. And quite honestly, it's not surprising as we are America's favorite vegetable.
Absolutely. I mean, I run into that just with friends, you know, or family members where we're sitting down and I start talking about what I do or whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, potatoes, you know, they're high in carbs. And I'm like, hold on, education moment. So I enjoy doing it too about, you know, sharing it. Well, you're getting more potassium than an orange or than a banana. You're getting more vitamin C than an orange. So very, very fun that you get a good reaction there. And we talked a little bit about your outreach efforts, and you've traveled all over the world to work with chefs, to teach them how to implement potatoes in their menus. How is potato consumption different in some of these other places than you've been? And what are some of the more interesting places that you've been? And I would imagine you've come up with or come across some interesting recipes and things over your years traveling the world.
Absolutely. You know, it's definitely a blessing to be able to go to some places in the world that I've always wanted to go to. Southeast Asia being one of them. Definitely, I've traveled from, you know, everywhere from Myanmar to Thailand to the Philippines, Mexico. We have about 13 markets that we operate in, and even more individual countries, because some of those markets encompass more than one country, such as Central America, for example. You know, I would have to say the main difference between potato consumption in these other countries and here domestically is just the way that potatoes are viewed, right? So in most of the world, potatoes are viewed as a vegetable, not so much as a starch component to a meal, right? Which is kind of a double-edged sword sometimes, because while we want people to recognize potatoes as a vegetable that they are and that they're nutritious, it kind of comes with a less ubiquitous nature of using potatoes throughout your meal patterns. And so there's so many vegetables out there. If they're pairing it with, say, rice, for example, they may swap out another vegetable more regularly. Whereas here in the States, potatoes make up a bulk of that starch consumption that we have on the plate. So we love the fact that people are associating it with a vegetable. However, it does become more difficult when we're trying to up the consumption, right? And it's not as recognizable as some of those other starchy type dishes that you'll see in a lot of Asian countries, for example. So, you know, rice is primarily there. But how do we get people to get more excited about eating potatoes? And our marketing efforts in these countries is really doing that. I mean, they're putting frozen potatoes on top of pizza in South Korea. They're putting potatoes on the outside of crispy corn dogs at some of their night markets and so forth. We're really engaging chefs and getting them excited about what makes the U.S. product that much better than products that you'll find any other place in the world.
Do you struggle with black spot or pressure bruise in your potato crop? The proven BioControl 1-4 site helps increase deliverables to your shed or plant by reducing the severity and indices of bruise. Incorporate 1-4 site into your existing storage program for unprecedented success. Learn more at 1-4group.com. And now back to the podcast.
Yeah, and some really interesting news that came out recently is just that whole situation with Mexico that we're finally going to get fresh access. So a lot of opportunities for you guys there. I'm sure you're looking forward to that.
Well, we absolutely are. The fresh access in Mexico is huge, something that everybody should be celebrating right now. And I know that our Mexico reps down there are pumped as much as we are.
Yep. Your outreach typically is aimed at food service, like we've talked about, working with like chefs and restaurants. But you've also created a lot of recipes that are on Potatoes USA and in your database that can be used like gold standard recipes for like at home in the American kitchen or beyond. So what have you done with some of that?
Absolutely. So, you know, while we have traditionally worked a lot with chefs in the past, a big portion of what I do on a day-to-day basis is come up with recipes for the at-home consumer. And this can either be showcased for retailers at retail, or it can be just recipes that we're hosting on potatogoodness.com that home consumers can go on there, grab their favorite potato recipes and cook that at home. It's definitely a different focus in the way that we write recipes as opposed to writing recipes for a food service operator or a chef. Consumers really want simplistic recipes. They want a minimal number of ingredients, but they still want it to taste great and look inviting. And so that's really where our focus has been. Whether it's a focus on those gold standard recipes, as you mentioned, you know, how do you make the classic baked potato and do it right every single time? How do you make light and fluffy mashed potatoes that your family is going to love? Recently, and in fact, just last week, I got through filming with Chef Jason Morse, who is dubbed as the barbecue chef He works with a lot of big brands such as Ace Hardware and so forth. But him and I, we did an entire video series on how to grill potatoes. So if you're getting out there with the family this summer, how do you do a baked potato on the grill? How do you do some easy breakfast potatoes in foil pouches? And we really showcased not only doing it on charcoal, but doing it on pellet grills and gas grills and so forth to really take a lot of the guesswork out of it, including a lot of what we call potato hacks. So shortening the cook time on a baked potato on the grill can be as simple as putting it into an Instacooker or putting it into a pressure cooker or even just a simple microwave will really dramatically cut down that cook time. So we're trying to give the at-home consumer more reasons to consume more potatoes at home.
All right, this RJ Harvey's perfect baked potato. Because there's all kinds of different ways to cook a baked potato. I have my way that I have found, but I want to hear yours. Just a medium-sized russet. What's the best way to cook it in the oven?
Best way to cook it in the oven at home is set your oven to 400 degrees Fahrenheit. Once your oven is hot, grab your potatoes, make sure they're washed, prick them with a fork. Some people say you don't have to do this, but I just like to ensure that potato won't burst open. Then what we do is we place it on a baking sheet or a cookie sheet that has just a little layer of salt down. So it kind of elevates that potato off that hot pan. And then we roast it in the oven. The best way to cook it is to make sure that you have an internal thermometer where you can take the inside temperature of the potato. 205 degrees is really what you're aiming for, anywhere between 205 to 215. If you don't have an internal thermometer, that's totally fine. You can just use a paring knife. When that paring knife slips in very, very easily, it will come out and you'll know that your potato is fully cooked on the inside. The last 5 minutes of cooking, rub your potato with a little bit of olive oil and hit it with some sea salt, some black pepper, so you get that skin super crispy. We don't want to put the oil on too early, otherwise you'll get a leathery skin and not that nice, snappy, crispy crust that we all really like.
Oh, that sounds delicious. I can't wait to try that out. So, and speaking of your recipes, how many recipes would you say you've created and you have in the database at this point? And what are your focuses in the coming months and the next year of what you'd like to add to it?
So, you know, it's funny. We joke because we've done so many recipes in the last couple of years since the culinary department started. We joke about it getting to 1,000 recipes and how we're going to hit 1,000 recipes, right? But all in all, right now, we are just at over 200 recipes, which when you think about how long it takes to create a recipe from inception all the way to getting the food on the plate, it's quite an incredible task. Prior to the culinary department, we had a fraction of those recipes on potatogoodness.com. And so now we've just completely ramped up development. It's been extremely exciting. Those recipes range from consumer recipes to food service recipes, but they encompass all types of potato formats and categories. So we've got frozen potatoes, we've got dehydrated potato recipes on there. Of course, there's lots of fresh recipes, but we've even dipped into using potato chips as well as canned potatoes and refrigerated potatoes. So any type of potato that's created here in the US, you pretty much find it on potatogoodness.com.
Absolutely, and one thing that you turned me on to was the dehy potatoes as breading for like a protein. That is delicious. Absolutely. If you guys haven't tried that, try that out. So it's
chicken parm with dehydrated potato flakes on the outside. It's gluten-free and it's crispy and delicious.
Yep. Love it. Yep. It gives it, like you said, that little bit of that nuttiness to it. But no, there's no gluten. So if you're worried about that, so. And any of your other favorites come to mind that you've created over the years? Are there any that you're especially proud of because they've really resonated out there?
You know, it's funny. It's almost like trying to pick your favorite child. I suppose you could do that, but the ones that resonate the most with people are the ones that I find to be just cool in nature. We recently did a spring vegetable chicken tot pie. So instead of a classic chicken pot pie where we're using a pastry crust, we use frozen potato drums or tater barrels on top. And so it creates this nice little tot crispy hash brown crust, and it was just it resonated a lot with the folks that I shared it with on social. And so I think that that's going to be a really big one. But we've done everything from potato charcuterie, where we've made sausages out of potatoes and little terrines out of potatoes. We've done baking with potatoes. So potato biscuits and potato cookies, potato donuts, you know, when the holidays hit, those were huge. Some of the ones that I really enjoy because they're whimsical and fun are things like clam chowder cakes. So imagine a crab cake, but with really good clam chowder that's been kind of gelatinized and solidified into a cake. So you got all these flavors of clam chowder, but then, like you said, we bread it with potato flakes and crisp it up. So you've got potato on the inside and potato on the outside. We've done all sorts of loaded fries for food service operators, giving them delivery tips to make sure that their potatoes are hot, warm, and inviting when they arrive to the customer. One of my favorites is what we like to call a quote unquote Frito pie, where we're taking barbecued pork carnitas, and then we take the mashed potato topping and we fold in some masa harina, which is what you would make tamales or corn tortillas with. So it gives it that corn flavor, but it's all mashed potatoes. Then we bake that in the oven underneath the broiler, and it gets super crispy on top. So it really eats a lot with those flavors that are resemblant of Frito pie. So we have a good time with it. It's been fun.
It's your job to create these recipes, so it's work, but yet, I mean, you still get the enjoyment, the love of cooking comes through in that.
I mean, I just have such a blast every single day, Zeke. I got to tell you, if I was to create a dream job, I don't know if I could create a better one than I have now. I'm pumped every day I get up and work with potatoes. I'm excited about not only the organization, Potatoes USA, the family environment that we have, but one of the biggest things for me is supporting the growers and the farmers. I think there's this intrinsic connection that chefs have with farmers. We both put so much passion and pride into the work that we do that it really gives me a sense of great pride to help them out. And knowing that they're doing their job, just putting food on the tables of Americans across the country. And if I can aid in that quest, it just makes me super happy.
Yeah, I can relate to that probably at a lesser extent because you're more involved than I am. But I mean, if I have a small role in helping these farmers just by gathering some information, it makes me feel good that I'm doing something that maybe is going to help them because they are so important to us and so important to our society and such an integral part. I hope they know that they're appreciated. So
I hope so too. I always tell a lot of my friends that they're probably not as appreciated as they should be in American society. And I think we need to elevate the American farmer and all the growers that work so hard to just feed America.
Absolutely. And I think that is one final question I like to ask. When you're not in the kitchen at Potatoes USA, when you're on your own, do you have a go-to potato dish?
So the one go-to potato dish that my friends and family probably request the most are I do some pretty amazing fries. And I know that fries are pretty simplistic. You know, they're pretty much everywhere, right? But the way I do fries is a little bit different. I do a blanched fry in water first. And why I cook it in water is I'm able to introduce some flavors. I can put in some lemon. I can put in some garlic, some fresh herbs, lots of nice sea salt, and I can really infuse the inside of that potato with those flavors. Once the potato is almost cooked, I add in some baking soda into that water. That baking soda reacts with the gel, reacts with the starch in the potato to create a gel. So when I then drain those potatoes and freeze them on a cookie sheet, then all I have to do is fry them. And when I fry them, that gel gets super crispy on the outside, but you get this light and fluffy interior. Now, one extra step I do is I fry in just regular vegetable oil, right? It's economical, it tastes great, it works. But if you just take a little bit of duck fat or beef tallow or something like that and drizzle that on the fries after they're crispy, before you add your salt or herbs or Parmesan cheese or truffle oil or whatever you want to add, it gives it this extra little, what did you do to this potato to make it so delicious? And then instead of pairing it with a classic sauce like ketchup, I really love doing like really sharp and tangy vinaigrettes. So maybe a chili vinegar or something like that to cut through the richness of that potato, that fry. And it's just, it's incredible. People love it when I make that dish.
That sounds amazing. Dude, when I come out to Denver to visit you, I got a request. Would you please make those?
I will definitely do that for you, my friend.
All right. RJ, thanks so much for your time and appreciate all your insight. And again, that website is potatogoodness.com, correct?
That's right. You can check us out on potatogoodness.com. We also have our Potatoes Fuel Performance campaign. So if you're not a member of Team Potato and you want to be, definitely go and sign up for Team Potato. We have all sorts of great activities that we do around that. And it's really about encouraging the consumption of potatoes and being active at the same time.
Awesome. So I appreciate that. And again, I appreciate your time. And we will talk to you again soon. Again, this was the Potato Field. You can see all of our podcasts at spudman.com/podcast. So again, RJ, thanks a lot, buddy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Zeke. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And thanks again to 1-4 Group, our sponsor. Be sure to go check them out at 1-4group.com. We'll see you next time.